You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX PhD, week number 6. John and Mike with you, and Mike back in safely ensconced in Sydney. How's it going, my friend? Great seeing you last week.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good week, break week in LA. We enjoyed it. A lot of award shows, obviously, but also shooting stuff for FX PhD and FX Guide. In particular, shooting some stuff, I must admit, that is completely driven by what people have been posting in the forums that they wanted to see. So, for example, this week somebody posted a couple of weeks ago they wanted to do more on real-time keying and stuff. And so you and I, John, went and saw some incredibly interesting real-time keying application stuff.
Yeah, very much so. We visited the folks at Lightcraft Tech, located here in LA, actually in Venice, actually right near where I'm living, down the block. But really great to check in with those guys and see what they have up their sleeves, how the whole system works. And, of course, one of the great things about FX PhD is to be able to talk to directly with the software creator. And that's what happened in this case, and it'll be coming up in a background fundamentals class.
Yeah, it's a really cool tech that they're using on shows like Once Upon a Time and stuff like that. They used it on V. Is it V? I think it's V, yeah. Show that was the remake of the alien eating rats thing. It was the technology's been advanced in a number of stages. And interestingly, there were two inventions that the CEO or the president had in his office that you were interested in.
Yes, Mike and I were chatting in the car on the way there that I am actually is a new pet owner and a new pet dog owner with allergies. Very much a fan of the iRobot vacuum cleaner. It's this little disc that goes around automatically. It has a bit of semi-intelligence about how to get around devices and chairs and tables along walls and stuff. And that was actually developed by the guy who's writing. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank, Mike. You're going to have to help me here. The developer of Lightcraft. Really kind of obviously very cool to see the Lightcraft technology, because I think we're seeing more and more use of it, not just as a prep and previs tool for later, visualizing stuff that you're going to be doing in post, but actually for doing final live real-time keyings. A friend of mine actually here in LA was pointing out that he had recently upgraded his cable system and came with it a package of Latin America programs, TV networks from Mexico, and they're using it actually to generate finals for a lot of the novellas, the soap operas that are quite popular in the Mexican market.
So were you referring to Eric Elliot that we were meeting with?
Yes.
Or the guy he mentioned? Because Philip Mass, I had to look that up, is the co-founder who was the lead software and mechanical engineer actually on the Roomba. I don't know which one you're referring to, but anyway, Elliot is also obviously comes from that background, Elliot Mack, and he's the CEO that we were filming with. Basically between the two of them, they invented the Roomba.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think it's interesting to see that technology, and I'm talking the live compositing tracking technology being applied
The vacuum cleaner technology is quite fun too.
But it's really fascinating how it's being used, and it was just great to be able to sit down and gain that insight. And I think, as you'll see in the background fundamentals course, really where this tech is going, where it already is, and how it might be used in the future, both for finals and simply, I think, Mike, to keep the cost down and keep end production costs down, which is obviously the tightening of the screws that happen year in and year out in business.
See, the other thing that I think was interesting is at the other end of the week, we were up at ILM for a day. And while we can't discuss what we're doing at ILM yet, we will be when we're allowed to, we will. But ILM, of course, and this is not under NDA, has been experimenting with real-time stuff. And they published some stuff at some conference. I think it was in England, wasn't it? Where they showed real-time compositing of Star Wars characters and stuff. And clearly that's going to take an interesting turn as they go into production. And, of course, ILM also announced this week an expansion into London with a huge new facility opening up. It was like 200 artists, I think, in London. So they've got ILM now with the China outfit that they kind of work with, the London office, it's at Vancouver, and then, of course, the Presidio. I think it's Vancouver, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not Montreal, is it? Oh, no, it's one of the two. Yeah, so I was really interested in that. Now, again, we were up there doing on something else, but, you know, ILM now is so linked to Star Wars, and as Star Wars production gears up, so too ILM's hiring. So if you are in the London area and wanted to work at on the new Star Wars, which, of course, is the Disney-esque era of the franchise, yeah, ILM's literally hiring.
Yeah, very, and definitely have a great, I mean, that's one of the benefits to actually having a decent roadmap, Mike, of shows in the pipeline, I think, as well, kind of enables them to do, you know, longer-term development on things moving forward.
Yeah, because, I mean, they did really good stuff in Singapore. And, you know, they expanded there. Initially, a lot of that stuff was more animation than visual effects work, though that has been changing. So it was pretty interesting to see that in addition to that, they're doing the stuff into London. And I think I'm right in saying that they're intending on doing some Avengers 2 stuff in London as well. I think they announced that as part of the same deal. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's there's a bunch of stuff they're doing, right? They're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's like, you know, so SanFan has like, what, 500 artists thereabouts, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the Sandcrawler one in Singapore that I'm talking about, which I haven't been to, that I think Ian was. There's like another couple of hundred artists. And this is in addition to other employees, right? Because obviously they do other stuff. And then you've got at least a couple of hundred in Vancouver. And then I think they're adding another couple of hundred in London. So, yeah. It's interesting, you know, for me also because one of the things that people said, well, you know, VFX is all going to go to India and China, and because it's low cost and salaries are low and the cost of living is low. So clearly that's not quite as simple as that, given that London is just kicking it in terms of stuff going there. So it isn't just down to cost of accommodation and cost of living. Otherwise, London wouldn't get a look in.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously also related to deals with taxation and grants and incentives and stuff. But yeah, the other thing, I was talking to MPC over some work that they're doing, and I was kind of stunned. I had not kept my eye on how far MPC had expanded lately. I don't know how many offices you are conscious of, but I mean, obviously it's part of Technicolor. And so a bunch of things are pulled in, you know, under. There's Vancouver, Montreal, LA, New York, Amsterdam, Bangalore, Mexico City, I didn't know about. Obviously London, here in Sydney. So there's like a lot of facilities. You know, it's such a global market. And the VES this week, I think, came out and said that they are going to drop their thing about trying to just advocate for LA tax incentive stuff because they're recognizing that so many of their members are outside of... and I don't want people in LA to not get work, but the Visual Effects Society had previously advocated for Californian work, and I, for one, as a paid member of the VES, sort of thought that was kind of an odd thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as you speak to these big companies, you just see how global they've become.
Yeah, it certainly is. I think the issue is, the whole issue is incredibly complex, but the fact is it truly is becoming a worldwide market, and has been, frankly, for years. But yeah, what is it? What did you say? I'm sorry, I missed. Was it, it's 8 locations now that MPC's up to, I think?
Oh, I wasn't even counting them. I was okay. Just trying to run them off. But yeah, because I was talking about something that came up to do with motion capture or something. Hang on, let me just do this. So Vancouver, Montreal, LA, New York, Amsterdam, Bangalore, Mexico City. That's 9.
9
locations that I know of, right?
Right, okay.
So there may be more.
Yeah, more.
If you work for MPC in a location that was not previously listed, in, I apologize.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so we just skipped over that trip up to ILM, but I've got to say the guys up there are doing phenomenally good work, and it's always a joy to visit ILM. It's just such a well-run place.
Yeah, very much so. And love hanging out there, and saw a couple of people I knew, and apologies if a couple of people might be listening that we weren't able to catch up to, but boy, we hit the ground running. We entered the door at 9, went running out in the evening, pretty much with nonstop interviews throughout the day. So
yeah, it's a shame that we just don't get to hang out more sometimes, but that one was, we had to get back because the SciTech Oscars were on Saturday night, and we needed to get back on Friday night, so we couldn't stay overnight up in San Fran. Hey, So speaking of really well-run things like the Oscars, which was incredibly well-run, as you'd expect from the Oscars and the SciTex, and some really great people winning awards. And actually, the guys are doing the spherical harmonics, they're winning that. And they were walking the line beforehand, and I was talking to them about stuff. And anyway, I said, people were like, clearly, I mean, I don't sound too arrogant, but there were people there that were on the line from press. I had no idea what was going on, and like no idea who they were talking to. So I just keep on asking them questions like, so what was your technology that you're being, you know, sort of recognized for use in? Like, what films was it? Because then I have some idea what the hell to ask you about. Anyway, I got to the SciTex guys, and they were like, so what are you being honored for? And I actually said to them, I said, hey, what is the elevator description of spherical harmonics? Because I, you know, done a lot of research on spherical harmonics. It's a very complicated topic to be able to explain in a one sentence. And they literally said, are we just telling everyone to go and look at your FX Guide articles?
Nice.
But
market for the news from the SciTex, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But look, you know, they were everyone, I mean, the
playing to their market, just, right?
Yeah, the popular press was just asking everyone that was winning an award who they thought was going to win Best VFX.
Yes, exactly.
No, who's going to win Best VFX Oscar? It's like, you know what, really?
Stop.
All the weather guys were like, well, we certainly hope it's going to be. And Gravity, I take nothing away from it, but, you know, it was just didn't seem to be the most probing question to ask. But anyway, getting back to this. So the SciTex really well run, super well run. Lots of security, guys with earpieces in. Everything was just like a clockwork. Terrific food. VES was earlier in the week. Not exactly run the same way.
No. It's definitely some glitches in the way it was run and produced and so forth. And definitely not, obviously not on the scale of the Academy in, as far as their setup and so forth. But that being said, you know, it was actually a really enjoyable time and a great chance to, you know, honor the winners, at least in most of the cases.
You're being so kind.
It's about the, you know, from my standpoint, it was, but it's, from my standpoint, it's about honoring the quality of the work and the people there. And, you know, I'm glad there was an opportunity to do so, I guess. But yes, okay. You're right. It was not the best run of all. And where should we start?
The host of the event called it a train wreck.
The host, yes. The host, who is fantastic, Patton Oswalt, was brilliant. But yes, it ran the gamut from playing the wrong video and henceforth blaming one of the presenters, in essence, one of the presenters blaming himself for opening up the wrong envelope, to totally skipping even playing the nominees video for one of the categories.
Spelling people's names
spelling
wrong.
Spelling people's names wrong, yeah.
Putting the wrong team names on the wrong thing. But my favorite was actually giving the award to somebody and then going, actually, you didn't win. Can we have the award back? We've got to give it to someone else.
Yes.
Which I have to say, like, I mean, I'm laughing about it. It was unforgivable. I mean, that is just appalling. That really is terrible. I mean, I know why that happened, but I don't care. Like, it's just too crushingly. Imagine your wife or partner was sitting there, your husband, you get up and accept the award. And they're like, yay, honey. And then you come back to them and go, actually, they took it away.
Yes. Guess I'm more of a glass half full kind of guy. I'm not taking away that it's inexcusable, especially when you work all year. This is being honored by your peers. And this, in many ways, as we talked about in the DOD, this is, you know, these awards, yeah, are from your fellow peers. There's a big, huge vetting process that's related to this. It's voted on by other members of VS. It's not voted on by people who are outside the field. So I frankly think these awards mean a lot. And so to be honored by that and to have the presentation of that at your moment messed up, I think, is inexcusable. I agree with you.
That being said, to get back to your glass half full for a second,
yeah.
I think it was a good year for visual effects.
To say the least, especially if you take a look at the top grossing movies, which in the end it is a business, and that's how success is measured by the studios. Really had a huge impact last year in that. And frankly, as we talked about before in the podcast, that signified in the people who were left out, actually, of the nominee list. So it's such a broad and deep scope of films and TV shows that were nominated that invariably some even were left out of the final nominations, right? I think it really speaks
you know,
to that.
Something else I wanted to mention is a group that's really doing, I guess, funding really good ads and stuff away from the feature films is the Game Guys. Like some of the game ads, the ads that were made to promote games, or sort of cinematic type stuff was just awesome. Sony's ad for the PlayStation Perfect Day was just remarkable.
That. Yep.
But there was like a bunch of them, you know. These guys clearly got good budgets because their opening film, opening weekend of sales of games is so strong. And they're putting it into producing some really innovative work. And they're funny and they're well made. And the teams that are making them are doing spectacularly good work in terms of the visual effects that are in them. Given that they're like, you know, 60-second spots, they're just huge.
Yeah, yeah. The Call of Duty was absolutely... Night Out was really fantastic, and I was happy to see them win in that case, because I personally really enjoyed that. I found it. I don't know how you feel, but I was somewhat surprised that the PETA ad, kind of dominated, much like Gravity did. Not taking away anything from the work, but I was just surprised that that was the one that did.
Yeah, I think it is a very good ad. It's very moving. There was a bit of a controversy in Australia a while ago. You know, I was, you know, doing some ads, and anything that's a community service ad, and I think that was what you'd call a PSA. Is that what you call it on the sites?
Yep.
The concern was when you're doing a PSA or a charity type job, you have a different set of criteria than when you're having a normal client. And so there was some controversy or debate about, you know, it's very easy sometimes to get a client that says, well, we don't have much money, so you can do whatever you want. We just really appreciate it. And it becomes more of a showpiece, and the people that are doing the work are really happy to put extra stuff in because it is for a charity, as opposed to having to, like if you're trying to do an ad for a car, well, you know, you've got a lot of hierarchy of approvals and a lot of things that are standard in the industry, but probably just not at the same level that you get when you're doing a PSA. And so...
Basically, you're saying they're not subject to the same constraints as a normal commercial.
Well articulated, John.
Yeah, but right? I mean, it is. Yeah. You're exactly right about that. That's you and I are both well-versed, as I'm sure many of the listeners are, in that process. And it is an incredibly different process, as you point out. And that's a really good point across my mind, but I hadn't thought about it in the detail that you have. But
So that's why I would tend to agree with you, that while I think that... the PETA ad is spectacularly good work. I think I did, if I can confess, vote it in some categories, but in others, I gave it to some other stuff that had to run the gauntlet of normal commercials production.
Yeah, yeah, that's a, it'd be, and I certainly wouldn't suggest that we necessarily need another category.
No, no.
In the VES.
But I'm just saying,
it's quite long.
You know, for all I know, they had 1,000 levels of approval on the PETA ad. I just don't know, but it just did temper my thinking.
Yeah.
That, you know, a piece like that is really well done, but it kind of operates in a slightly different environment than if you're trying to get it through a standard advertising agency client, you know, bureaucracy kind of setup that has to sell stuff. And, you know, it's sort of more important sometimes to get other things through, which, you know, begs the sort of whole question. I mean, are the ads good because the visual effects are good, or are they good because they make you remember the brand and are good advertising? And I guess these aren't advertising awards, but that also, you know, it's quite complicated, because I think that you have to apply that if you're going to apply the similar measure of did the visual effects help tell the story when thinking about visual effects in terms of Wolf of Wall Street or Life of Pi or, you know, whatever the film is that you're talking about. Because if it has to serve the story and that's coming into your thinking on evaluating the visual effects in the film categories, then is it effective advertising should equally come into your thinking when you're evaluating the commercials.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point.
But I was telling you, it was really nice is to have the gang together in LA.
Yes, yes, it was. Yes, good. Especially so we could snark on the presentation amongst ourselves at the table.
Well, I could snark more than you guys because you had dates. I was just, you know... lying in a pool of tequila at the end of the night alone, you know. No, it was good. But yeah, it was great to have Jeff there, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, it certainly was. And I think Jeff, I was handling the live tweeting from FX Guide News along with Jeff, who was tweeting from his account. But Jeff was posting photos with an iFi up to the interwebs. And Ian was down in Sydney quickly adding them and posting them to the story. It was and you were taking photos as well. You were on the line, on the photo line out in the front beforehand. So I think it was a great, from a work standpoint, a great team effort for keeping everyone up to date on FXSide, and on a personal, professional level, it was great hanging with you guys as well for the event.
Yeah. And you know what? I like Jeff.
Yes. Yes.
You guys, obviously we don't, you know, talk about each other that much, but obviously FX Guide was founded by the three of us, and yeah, he's just such a nice guy. I'm very lucky to have both of you as business partners, because in this business, I've got to say, like, how long have we been partners now? Since 99, right?
Yeah, eternity, is it not?
Well, I hope you're not saying it feels like an eternity.
No.
That would be,
no,
okay. That would be
relatively
would be
speaking.
Of, relatively speaking. Yeah. Oh, my God. It feels so long. Oh, God.
Yeah. And speaking of long relationships, I thought Douglas Trumbull's introduction to John Dykstra was really pretty cool. From the standpoint of being coming up in the same time period, being competitors, yet Douglas Trumbull's father worked for John Dykstra. And talk about a small community, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, we've been business partners for 15 years, right? Those guys must have been knowing each other and working together and stuff for decades, right?
Yeah.
So
it's, a fun night as well. And again,
I do think that's a particularly good thing about the VS. Right? I mean, I'm going to slag off the VS for just being appalling in their production of management of the night. But but recognizing significant and look, I should also say, there's no way Dykstra's out of the game, right? Dykstra's completely still in the game. So I don't want to imply for a second when I say
exactly.
this, but honoring people that are, you know, that have a huge history with visual effects. I mean, John Dykstra himself said the trouble with getting this is it sounds like his career is over, and it absolutely is not. He's very active. But, yeah, it's good to see the VS being respectful to people that have helped pioneer the craft.
Yes, you're much – I think you believe you're, as usual, more eloquent than I in stating the fact that, yes, the running of the awards was reprehensible, frankly, but the idea behind them and the reason that we were there to celebrate was a great one. It's kudos to them for taking on this, frankly. Just need to do a better job running it.
Oh, my God. Well, they just need new people on the AV, basically.
Yeah. But it was the same people who did it.
Well, then they need to not be taking crack cocaine.
Yes, exactly. I read the program for the first time last night, and I was looking through it, and it's actually the same company that produced it. So what the fuck happened? Anyway, how about – I haven't talked to you. You touched briefly on the SciTech Awards, but just in general, you touched on it, but how is that as an experience similar to
I mean,
what
John,
seen
I've got
before?
To say, it's very similar to what we, it was a different hotel sort of reception area than you and I were at before, but they're our people, you know, like you just, I mean, it's just, it, like, I guess 70%, if maybe 80% of the people that were getting awards, we've done stories on or have interviewed and stuff. I mean, we hadn't done stuff on, for example, the guys that did the helicopter stuff, you know, the helicam remote stuff. So I'm not implying that for a second. And certainly, you know, there are other tremendous contributions that are recognized by the SciTech Oscars, especially in the areas of, over the years, film stocks or something like that. That's really not in our wheelhouse, so we don't. But I've definitely felt that this year's Oscars, you know, there was all this stuff on deep compositing. We've done stories with all of those guys. We were one of the first organizations ever to do those, you know, like 4 years ago. There's a ton of stuff. But one of the things I didn't mention to you, which I thought was, I mean, I just fanboying here for a second. Eric Veitch was there. Now, Eric Veitch, if you've read any of my stories on rendering, is just a friggin' uber legend. He's also the guy that basically helped work out, if not actually worked out, how to monetize Google. He came up with AdSense and the AdWords stuff. And he left the industry 14 years ago from Pixar, where he did one of the two major contributors on Deep Shadows, which allowed hair in movies like Monsters. But that also meant that that idea of deep shadows is what's applied to deep comp, and hence there were three subsequent or sort of developments of Deep Comp that all sort of derived from the work that they'd done. So they were honoured in part for Deep Shadows and part for Deep Comp. And Eric Veitch was on the line. I got to talk to him, and it was just, you know, every once in a while you get to talk to somebody that you really, really want to talk to, given our job. And I'm reminded how lucky we are to be able to do this, because even to have 5 minutes talking to Eric Veitch was just a complete highlight for me. And really humble kind of guy, but yeah, whoa. I mean,
right.
I mean, I've quoted this a couple of times, but when we've interviewed Marcus, who, as you guys would know, listening to this, is the founder and chief, you know, head guy of Solid Angle, produces Arnold. Arnold, hugely influential renderer, incredibly bright guy, Marcus is. Marcus says he goes and rereads Eric Veitch's 1997 thesis almost every year. So still, today, like years later, his thesis is completely relevant. And to someone as clever and as connected and as in-depth as Marcus at Solid Angle. So that's just, you know. But of course, I think I was one of like three people there that knew who he was on the line.
Right.
Everybody else was like, so what films has your technology been used in? I felt like saying all of them for the last 12 years. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, it was, well, I'm sure it was good to see people. So, yeah, looking at your photos, like, we've talked to those people and Jeremy.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Jeremy, it was nice to see Jeremy back on the line again. Is this second year he's been? Didn't
yeah.
he accept and one he last was, year, right?
Yep, no, absolutely. You're very right. And yeah, you're right on the money. And also, he got singularly recognized. In other words, he got a SciTech Award just to him for his work in Open Color Eye. Hell of a nice guy. Yeah, he was on Rob Bredow's table, which was just next door to my table. But the ILM guys for Xeno and Plume. Mm-hmm. And of course, we'd just been up there the day before, and you know, there's just like tons of people that that we know. The guys from ZBrush and Mudbox. So, you know, I mean, I got to say, I love the SciTech. I really do. It's just so healthy.
Yeah.
Because it's not competitive and nasty. It's just healthy. So yeah. I like him a lot.
No, and it is. I mean, and we talked briefly, or I mentioned about the vetting process on the VES awards, which is you know, fairly rigorous approval process, and then the various committees around the world that actually vet those and decide who the final nominees are going to be. But boy, the SciTechs make that approval process look like, you know, getting your preschool application done. You know. I've spoken to several of the people who have applied for those, and it is rigorous, to say the least.
Yeah, they completely pre-publish who they're thinking of giving an award to so that people can pop up and discuss it and submit if, you know, you think that maybe there's some prior art that hadn't been recognized or something, whatever, dot, dot, dot. And so there's a committee, then they publish this kind of preliminary list, then there's a huge investigation, and they meticulous in piecing stuff together, and then there's the final award. Though, I've got to say, in the capers, the guys on my table from the Helicamp copter stuff, I was, you know, so I was thinking to myself,
self,
as one would, sorry?
Self, sorry, I was like prefacing that with self. Go ahead.
Yeah, so because I was thinking, I don't have the same kind of similarity of discussion points, and I wanted to not talk to them because that would be rude only to talk to people. So I thought I'd engage in them. I thought, well, there's a safe topic, right? Let's discuss how complicated it was for them to submit to be recognized, right? Because, you know, that seems like a good kind of topic to discuss. So I say, so this is Guilford Hopper and Philip George from Hovercam. Anyway, so I say to them, so it must have been a really, you know, long and grueling process to, and they were like, not really. And I was like, what? And like, yeah, we submitted like years ago, and then something didn't happen, and they spoke to us back then. What? And then this year they just gave us an email that said, congratulations. And I was like, what?
That's the best email ever.
Yeah. And I said, so it was like out of the blue? And they're like, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're continuing to work on, you know, miniaturized radio-controlled helicopter stuff and really good remote pan and tilt. The funniest comment of the night, and I can't remember if it was Guilford or Philip that said this, so we're watching one of the reels, and it was fully CG, mega, it was like a Plume kind of reel, you know, with like tons of destruction and stuff going on. But by the same time, it might have been one of the other ones. I'm not saying it was, but anyway. And as you know, loads of really cool virtual cinematography with camera shake and stuff. And they're just like going, you know, we can fix that camera shake. I mean, they knew it was CG, right? But the point is they get all this trouble to remove camera shake and vibration from HoverCam, only to have all these CGs guys like adding all these artifacts back in to try and sell their stuff. And they're producing these super smooth, beautiful panning shots and choppers. And the same sort of shots are being done over these destruction sequences with all this shake and shudder and stuff that these guys go to so much trouble to get rid of. They just thought it was, you know, it's like maybe if we hadn't got rid of that, we wouldn't have got an award kind of thing. So, yes.
Nice.
Actually, there was the other one with the guys that did the Flying Cam Sarah system. And those guys kept on, all four of them in a line, putting their arms out and pretending to be aeroplanes for every camera that was raised. And they were very funny. Probably not as funny, though, as, I don't know why I'm trivializing this, but in this particular case, it's not my fault, right? The guys that got the CDL color list, you know, the group that, the ACS, yeah. So Joshua Pines goes to talk to say thanks. And Joshua's obviously won quite a lot of awards over the years and is very, very well known for those. We've interviewed him. Yeah, he's just a funny guy. He's just an eccentric, though. And he just goes into this comedy routine. He, like, pulls a thing out of his pocket to say to people to thank, and it unfolds to, like, 6 foot long off the thing, and then he pulls out a piece of camera tape and explains that this is what they replaced, that people used to write, you know, f-stops and stuff and color information on the camera tape that goes around the tin, and they've replaced it with the CDL, and he just had wisecrack after wisecrack. It really was really funny.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, particularly taking digs at the lack of, you know, the loss of film and stuff and making super wisecracks. And the whole place was just cracking up. I mean, about the next six people had to sort of say things like,
I'm not funny, no.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and even get close to that. I mean, he really was. And there was a teleprompter there, and if he had this in the teleprompter, man, he didn't look at it at all. Just went off.
That's a novel idea, have a teleprompter.
Because he came up after the guys with the four guys with the, you know, that did the plane thing.
Yeah.
And he literally started by saying, can we please wrap this up? Because they'd gone on for a little bit. Yeah. And then, I got a quote here, right? Cinematographers lamented no longer having the mechanism to accurately and repeatedly describe their creative looks. And things went downhill. I mean, digital after that.
Right.
Oh dear. Anyway, yes. Kirsten Bell joked that she was going to quit acting because he was more of a ham than she was, kind of thing.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. I actually didn't attend the actual event last year. I did go to the red carpet last year's event, but I missed being there with you. This year's, we'd been a couple years ago and had such a ball at that event.
So we were with the Houdini guys a couple of years ago, and they're good, fun people to hang out with. If you ever have to go to an Oscars event, go with the Houdini guys. I like those guys a lot. They're good people.
Yes, very, very much so. Well,
I should probably go.
One really quick thing before we go. I just want to mention a little PhD business. We sent out emails last week for the midterm surveys. We'd really appreciate it if you're a member of FXPhD this term. To actually take those surveys and gives us a bit of a chance to make minor tweaks to the courses. We're feeling really good about them at this point, but always constructive critique is always incredibly useful to us as part of the process. And so that anything that we can do to improve the course, courses that are being recorded this term, is really helpful to us. And the profs really, we've said this before, broken record, but they really do like hearing from you guys and hearing the kind of things that feedback that they want to get from us, and we share this with them.
Well, it's kind of to prove that point, you posted, which I think is great, a section, we always say post in the forums, it's really rewarding, and Charles has posted some really great technical answers and stuff from his course, from the Advanced Digital Color Theory. And so, John, you've actually copied out of behind the paywall, as it were, just his answers to a few questions as an example of what happens in the forums at PhD, which is now on the homepage of FX PhD, and there's a link to it from FX Guide, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's we get that been told that a lot from members, as well as I'll even say from profs who join and then therefore get access to the forums and see the forums for the first time. We're trying to think of a way of actually kind of demonstrating some of that. And Charles was kind enough to really post some incredibly nice responses in the forums. And it's exactly the kind of thing that we really love about FX PhD. If you have a question about the course, you can ask your prof and they'll get back to you. And we just, again, repinged all our profs in the last week to give them links to new mechanisms so they get notified of new posts in the forums and things like that. So they're there and waiting to answer your questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's obviously, if you're in the forums, you can just go over and have a look at another course's forums if you want. Like, you're not excluded from them. But if you're not in the forums, then, yeah, you're obviously not a member, in which case, please become a member.
Please become a member. Check out the information is really useful. I mean, it stands on its own as some cool information and discussions. So that's another reason we thought it was useful to post. But anyway, I just want to mention those midterm surveys before we wrapped up, because I'd like to get those shared with the profs by the end of this week. So if you didn't receive a link for your courses, if your email maybe got thrown into spam or something like that, drop us a line by clicking on the help link at the top of the FX PhD website. Fill out a support request and we'll get those to you.
And can I just say thank you, John, for looking after me when I was in LA.
As always, fantastic.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, always enjoy hanging out. It's good to spend time and strategize and talk about things. Again, I think we're great at running things remotely, but always good from a business standpoint to hang out as well as a personal one. So great seeing you.
And thanks so much, guys, for all the emails and stuff, and those of you that said hi to us when we were in LA. We always like seeing members when we're traveling around the place. And unfortunately, sometimes, as John said, we go to facilities, we can't see everyone, but we're just on a killer schedule. But yeah, it was great seeing people at the VS and everything else. So thanks. We'll catch you next week.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.